They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So we have been going over the conflict in the Middle East and actually talking about or looking at what is the real reason for the conflict in the Middle East and asking whether this is a sign that we are in the end times. And in previous weeks, we went over Matthew 24 and showed that Jesus said that the things that he was talking about in Matthew 24 would happen in that generation. And we have talked about how various things definitely did happen within that generation, including the temple being torn down, not one stone being left upon another. And in addition to that, we looked at also other aspects of that passage, including the Roman army going into Jerusalem and actually killing Jews. But before they did that, they went into the Holy of Holies and worshiped. So you see the abomination of desolation. And when that happened, when the Christians saw that, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then leave. Jesus even said, pray that your flight may not be in winter. Pray that you're not pregnant in those days, because the days will be difficult. And so we showed how those passages were actually fulfilled. And what you see is not the end of the world, but what you saw was the end of the Old Testament sacrificial system, because there was no need for it anymore. What was needed and what was necessary was for people to accept Jesus and the shed blood that He made, because He became our Passover lamb. He became our scapegoat. There's no need to shed the blood of bulls and goats and sheep anymore. Because we have Jesus Christ, His blood has been poured out in heaven. So we're going to actually look today and start looking, at least. We'll see how far we get with this. But we're going to look really at the root of the conflict that we see in the Middle East presently and really throughout the ages, from a long time ago, and where it actually came from. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 15, beginning of verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" So Eliezer wasn't his child. It was just a child of a servant that was born in his house, was the heir of his house. And in verse 3, then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one who is born in my house is my heir." Verse 4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.'" So you see a promise there that Abram would actually have a child, and that child would be his heir. In verse 5, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So you see that Abram believed the word of the Lord, and God accounted that for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge, after they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your father in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And one thing you'll know, you may remember, we've gone over it several times, Leviticus 18 and 20, when the children of Israel were coming into the promised land. In Leviticus 18 and 20, God warns them, tells them there are certain sins that the people of the land have committed. And because of these sins, the land is actually vomiting out the inhabitants. And if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you out as well. Those sins were mostly sexual. They were dealt with incest. They dealt with homosexuality. They dealt with adultery. And they dealt with child sacrifice. And this is something that was happening in that culture. They would actually take their sons and their daughters to pagan priests, and the pagan priest would burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. And here you see that their sin was not yet full, and that God was not yet ready to judge them, but there was coming a time when the land would actually vomit them forth, as you see later in Leviticus 18 and 20. And in verse 17, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So God here is making a covenant, and this is the beginning of the covenant that God has made with Abram. And God is telling him, you are going to be, your descendants, you're going to have a son, your heir will come from your own body, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And your descendants will go into captivity, but they're going to come out of captivity, and they're going to possess this land which I have promised to give you. And then in Genesis 16, what we see is we see a plan. One of the things that happens sometimes when God tells us something or God reveals to us something, and it looks like it's impossible for that to happen, sometimes we look for ways to fulfill the word of God in our own strength or according to our own plan. And this is really what you see in Genesis chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to your maid, to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarah said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." Then Sarah dealt harshly with her. She fled from her presence. So this is really interesting. I don't know any of the men listening, if you've ever been in this situation where your wife came up with an idea and you went along with it and it didn't turn out as well as your wife had thought it would, and then you got blamed for it. I certainly have seen that many times, and really that's the way it should be, because as men, we are responsible for our decisions, even if our wives are the ones that suggested that we do something, we are still responsible for our decisions, just like Adam was responsible, even though Eve tasted the fruit first, that God had said, "Don't eat of this tree." Eve tasted that first and gave it to Adam. Adam had a responsibility to do what was right, and he didn't do what was right. Then Abram had a responsibility. And you see, the thing was, back in these days, this was a common practice. This wasn't something that was unique just to Abram and Sarah, or Sarai. This is something that happened quite often. You would have the wives sometimes bring their maid, and their maid would become a wife as well, and the men would actually have more than one wife, and they would have children from not only their wife but also from their maid. And you'll see that later on. And typically, you don't see a major, major consequence. But in this one instance, we actually see a huge consequence that is still with us to this day. And thousands of years later, we still see the results of this decision. And the real reason is that God had planned to bring about children to Abram out of Sarai, his wife. And they tried to work it out in the flesh. They tried to work it out where the word of God or the promise of God could be fulfilled with in a way that they thought was possible. And so what you see happening here is that whenever you see a couple that is barren, where the wife is barren, you really never know. Is it the wife? Is there something wrong with the wife? Is there something wrong with the husband? Is the husband, is the wife infertile? Is the husband impotent? What is the problem? And so the maid saw that she conceived, and she realized, and she despised Sarai because she realized it wasn't Abram that had the problem. It was Sarai that had the problem and was the issue with conception there. But of course, really, what was the issue, what was happening, was that God was withholding of the fruit of the womb so that they could learn to trust in Him, and so that they could build faith that with God, all things are possible. And so you see here what happens is, as Abram, or as Sarah, as her maid is despises her, she comes to Abram, and she is upset about this. And so Abram allows her to mistreat the maid, and she flees. And in verse 7, now the angel there in the Bible is capitalized, which typically means that is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because God has heard your affliction. So you see a few things here. The angel of the Lord is telling her to go back to submit to Sarah. The angel of the Lord, or Sarai, the angel of the Lord is telling her that her children will be multiplied, that she's with child, that her children will be multiplied, and that they'll have a huge number of children coming out of that, and that she should return and actually submit to Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said, So she would call his name Ishmael. Now, in verse 12, this is a key verse here, and this is a verse that you really, really need to pay attention to. Talking about Ishmael, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. So I'm going to read that one more time, and then I'm going to expound on that a little bit and shed some light on what we see happening in the Middle East today. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. Now, the descendants of Ishmael are the Muslim nations. And when you look in the Middle East and you see the Muslim nations, when you see Hamas, when you see the Palestinians, you are seeing descendants of Ishmael. And when you look, and later on we'll read about God's blessing and God's provision of a child to Abram and Sarai, and what we'll see is that through Isaac, the promise or the covenant would be extended, and the Israelites came from Isaac, and the promise was to go through Isaac, but Ishmael still would be a great nation. And here you see that he would be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and that he would dwell in the midst of his brethren. And what do we see in Israel right now? We see the Palestinians and Hamas, which is a terrorist group, among the Palestinians, living right next to their brethren, the Israelites, and we see that they are wild, that they are against every man, that they are, the Hamas has been terroristic to their own people, and so you see really, and you see the conflict not just with Hamas and Israel, but with Iran and some of the other nations. And what you're seeing here is really the result of Sarai and Abram trying to work out the plan of God in their own strength and according to their own knowledge and according to what made sense to them. And then in verse 13, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also seen him who sees me?" So she realizes that she has seen God, and she calls his name, "You are the God who sees," because she has seen him who sees her. And in verse 14, "Therefore, the well was called Beer Lehi, Rohi." Observe it. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So 86 years old, he was a pretty old man. We don't know how old Hagar was, but we know that Abram was 86 at that time. And then we'll go on in chapter 17 of Genesis, beginning in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." So here God is telling him, you're not just going to be a father of one nation, you're going to be a father of many nations. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." So here you see God changing his name from Abram to Abraham. Later we'll see that God changed the name of Sarai from Sarai to Sarah. And the reason here is that Abram would be a father of many nations. In verse 6, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations from you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are strangers, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from a foreigner who is not in not your descendant, he who is born in your house, he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, for he has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And we will pick this up next week, but this is really the root cause of the conflict we see in the Middle East right now, and the root cause of the conflict that we've seen really throughout the ages in the Middle East. The descendants of Ishmael, the wild man, and the descendants of Isaac, who God established his covenant with. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Lost and could not see, but you did not give up on me to save me from my guilt and shame. You stepped into the world you made, and on the cross of Calvary, you gave your life to set me free. The King of glory once enthroned was laid to rest behind the stone. but death would not have final say. Jesus.